A few weeks ago, just before 6 a.m., my wife and I boarded a taxi to begin the last lap of our trip to Salt Lake City from Australia. Our driver, who had been on duty since 3 a.m., was anxious to talk to us, his first passengers of the day. We learned his parents were born just outside of Mexico City. They moved to Chicago, where he was born, and then moved to New Mexico. 20 years later, our friend had come for a short visit to San Francisco and had never left. During our trip to the airport, this man related a few instances from which some great truths were reemphasized. His parents, he told us, had remained in New Mexico but liked to visit him and his brother whenever they could afford it because they loved being with their children and grandchildren. In New Mexico, his mother's health was rather poor, but whenever she was in San Francisco, she seemed to feel much better. This discerning son had said to his brother, "I know just exactly what mother needs." He said, "I found a large truck. My brother and I drove to New Mexico, loaded our parents and all our possessions into the truck, and brought them to live near those who love them most." His mother's health improved noticeably. Then he added, "You know, love is very important if it is done right." The second incident related by this humble but wise man was also significant. He said, "I teach all my children to work. I want them to have schooling, but they must learn to work to get it. I have just finished helping my 16-year-old son get a part-time job at a bank while he is going to school. He only works for 2 hours a day, but he's learning to work. He knows that I love him because I do my part too. Due to the uncertainty of my driving hours, I can't always take him to work, but I'm always there to bring him home. He looks forward to our ride together, and so do I." Another important point was made by this unusual taxi driver. He told us that some of his unmarried friends who are also taxi drivers are often out of money. They come to him to borrow. He indicated that he is generally able to help them over tight money spots. When his companions asked how he is able to support his family on his salary when they can't even keep themselves, he said, "I tell them I don't waste money at the races or on liquor or tobacco. My wife fixes our meals at home, and we don't have to pay for expensive restaurant food." He smiled when he said, "We do our parting with our family." This man's objectives are family-oriented, and he has learned the folly of serving the gambling, drinking, and momentary expensive habits. A happy man, this driver. He has realized through experience important areas of love. He knows that nurturing love is healing. It is teaching. It requires sacrifice. And that which we love will be that to which we give our allegiance. He had shared some basic principles of love in action that were potent. Frankly, we were enjoying his comments so much, we could have wished the airport terminal were another half a mile away. This taxi driver knew where to place his love. We too must choose carefully the areas in which we serve, because where we serve, there will be our love. During our lifetime, areas of love must be put in proper perspective. In childhood, we anxiously strive to ride that bicycle, to skate, to ski, to learn the laws of balance. Then our love of wheels and speed and balance may become one of the joys of life. As we mature and serve and sacrifice for other interests, new love develop. A farmer grows to love his land, a scholar his books, a businessman his company. We have all witnessed the love of parents for their children, the love of a bishop for members of his ward, a young man for his new car, the love an engaged young lady has for a ring just received from someone very special. Equally important and apparent in the world today is the love of that which is evil. We may jeopardize our future by loving and sacrificing for that which is not conducive to our health or our progress. Many today are caught up in their love for worldly goods, which they think will bring them fame, fortune, and popularity. They too reap the rewards of loving incorrectly. In these cases also, that which they serve, they will learn to love. What we learn to love can make or break our lives. Love of money, drugs, and alcohol can turn men into thieves, murderers, and derelicts. First, they love the effects of those evil things. Then they sacrifice all, life, health, and liberty, for that which they thought were treasures. Love of essential, drugs, and lies grow as we serve in this appealing areas offered by Satan. Love bonds become strong and intense in proportion to our continuing service. A man who learns to love a lie serves dishonesty all his life. In fact, a drug addict can usually be cured more quickly than a liar. One of the greatest accomplishments of Satan in these last days is his success in turning men's affection toward the destructive, the fleeting, or the worldly. Rather than planning for that which is best for all, the world is becoming increasingly me-centered. On every hand, we have many group leaders saying, "We have a right, we demand." Many young people believe that love has rights one can demand of a loved one. For example, a young man often says, "If you love me, you will let me." He would take what he supposed were his rights rather than serving the higher standards of morality. Such a request does not bespeak love. Day-to-day acts of service, whether for good or evil, may not seem important, but they are building cords of love that become so strong they can seldom be broken. Ours is to place our area of love in proper perspective. Meaningful love always works for our eternal progress and not against it. One who loves has and feels responsibility. Paul in 1 Corinthians said, "Love thinketh no evil, is not self-seeking, is long-suffering, and is kind." If we look at love between two who are preparing for temple marriage, we see the elements of sacrifice and of serving each other's best interests, not a short-sighted me interest. True love and happiness in courtship and marriage are based upon honesty, self-respect, sacrifice, consideration, courtesy, and kindness, and placing we ahead of me. Those who would have us forfeit virtue and chastity to prove our love in sexual participation out of wedlock are neither friends nor eternally family-oriented. To classify them as selfish and unwise is not too severe. Those who serve the flesh will never know the love and the fruits of purity. A new convert to the church recently shared this story. I was in and out of enforced confinement most of my teen years. It wasn't so bad being there because the food was pretty good and we were treated all right. But it did get boring. So when anyone had any reading material, funny books, magazines, or anything, we would trade our food for a chance to borrow those items. One day I saw a fellow with a nice, thick book. I knew it would take a long time to read, so I offered him my pork chops, my potatoes, and all of my main course food items for a week. He accepted my offer and loaned me this book. As I read it, I knew I was reading something very special and very true. The book for which I had sacrificed my food was titled The Book of Mormon. When I had a chance, I found the missionaries, changed my habits, and am now finding a new way of life. I love that book for which I traded my food. Here was an unusual but worthwhile sacrifice with rewarding results. This convert indicated that the more time he spends with this book, the greater his love becomes for the truth he is finding between its covers. Love for one's family is not the love of a martyr. Think back about the practical sermon of our taxi driver. I teach my children to work, but I let them know I care. I do my part too. Our time, our listening ear, the understanding heart, and the unconditional love, even the opening of doors of opportunities at time are in some ways to serve those we love. But if we deprive family members of opportunities to learn to work, if we teach them to avoid or escape responsibilities for their own actions, if we use them to further our own ambitions, then we do not serve them well or love them prudently. Give a child an opportunity to work and contribute in the home, and his love of family will increase. As he is encouraged to give time and sacrifice to develop his talents, whether they be academic, music, drama, sports, leadership, or whatever, he will develop a love for that which brings him success. Children will love those talents or possessions to which we encourage them to give time and support. As adults, our top priorities are constantly directed toward the acquisition of more and better worldly goods. If they are, it will not take long to increase our love in those directions. The purchase of a larger home, or a nicer car, or a more expensive boat may cause us to sacrifice our resources and to develop an unwise love for those symbols of success and pleasure. We learn to love that which we serve, and we serve that which we love. How can we decrease our love for things that are not for our best good? We must examine our lives and see what services we are rendering and what sacrifices are being made, and then stop the expenditure of time and effort in those directions. If this can be managed, then that love will wither and die. Our love should be channeled in sources that are eternally oriented. Our neighbors and families will respond to our love if we will but follow through with sustaining support and self-sharing. Some callings and assignments in the church may seem insignificant and unimportant at the time, but with each willingly fulfilled and assigned, love of the Lord will grow. How can we help a new convert to learn to love the gospel? by finding ways for him to serve and sacrifice. We must constantly emphasize the truth. We love that to which we give time, whether it be the gospel, God, or gold. Often we hear expressions of love for the scriptures, including Jesus' teachings. Those who study, practice, and apply the truths not only know them best, but are fortified to use them for guidance all along life's paths. The man who most appreciates the opportunity of tithe payment is he who experiences the joy and blessings that come through sacrifice and obedience to that law. Our appreciation and love of the gospel and its teachings will always be in proportion to our service and commitment to the gospel. The greatest example of love available to all of us is, of course, found in the scripture from John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. By the greatest of all acts of love and by this supreme sacrifice, God set the pattern. He demonstrated to us that his love was unconditional and was sufficient to encircle every person. Perhaps our taxi driver had learned to apply the same godlike principle in his life when he wisely said, "You know, love is very important if it is done right." Love is right when it is channeled to proper areas and given the right priorities in our lives. We live in a complex world. There are many forces calling out, "Love me." A sure way to set our guidelines for that which we choose to serve and learn to love is to follow the admonition of Joshua. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let us look to our own lives. We serve that which we love. If we sacrifice and give our love for that which our Father in heaven asks of us, it will help us set our footsteps upon the paths of eternal life. Again, I conclude, what we serve, we learn to love, and what we love takes our time, and what takes our time is what we love. May God help us to love the right, love the truth, and love areas of service that are rewarding and eternal. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.